Writer and director Matthew Weiner loves the early 60s, before they turned Woodstock hippie. For Weiner, the 60s was an era of martinis at five, restless housewives, and flannel-suited husbands who were confident American masters of the universe, like Mad Men star Don Draper.
First job, I was in-house at a fur company with this old pro copywriter, Greek, named Teddy. And Teddy told me the most important idea in advertising is new. But he also talked about a deeper bond with the product. Nostalgia.
Nostalgia, in all of its forms, interests Weiner. His newest project is a comedy about the personal nostalgia of two friends stuck in an adulthood of cheap feelings and a fear of approaching middle age.
I don't want money.
You don't have to put such a shitty spin on everything. Maybe this is your father's way of giving you a chance to be what you always wanted to be.
This is my father reaching from beyond the grave to control me. The whole thing just insinuates that I'm crazy, that there's something wrong with the way that I live, but I'm fine. Everything's fine.
I'm supporting you. Of course everything's fine. Look, I'm the last person that should be saying this. But what about me?
That's Owen Wilson and Zach Galifianakis, stars of the new movie Are You Here? It's a story of how a sudden inheritance forces two childhood friends to think about what is really meaningful in their lives. Weiner wrote the movie for Wilson, but it's a story about friendships from his own life.
I had this realization that, I'd gotten married and my wife is my best friend, but so many of the people who were so important to me, especially my childhood friendships, they had just disappeared. I had no male friends. And I was like, well, what happened? And it happens to a lot of people. And I think it's something that's kind of revered in the movies, and maybe it's a wish fulfillment. And that was sort of the first line I had in the movie, was this idea that friendship is rarer than love because there's nothing in it for anybody.
And to get there, you really have to explore this territory of being lost as a man. I mean, that's sort of...
Yeah, I mean, that was a great thing about having these two main characters. They're kind of two halves of anyone's personality. They're extremes, as they should be. But I wanted to write about someone who was unable to feel. Not that you can't feel, but you don't want to. It's just too overwhelming. And I think a lot of our life right now is devoted towards some form of anesthetization, some sort of medication, whether it's – for this character, it's literally drugs and alcohol and women. That's Owen's character. And then Zach Galifianakis' character is, you know, mentally ill. He's feeling too much. It's too extreme. And the only thing holding them together is this mysterious link of their relationship, their childhood friendship. I guess it's sort of a coming of – even though they're both in their early 40s, that gauge has moved a little bit. It's sort of a coming of age story that way.
Even more than that, it's a journey to finding authenticity. This feels like a yearning to get away from sort of cheap feelings to find something real.
Yes, absolutely. That's incredible that you said it that way. That certainly was my intention. I'm feeling good that I communicated that, because they do speak the truth. I mean, Owen's character has no respect for authority, and he's kind of calls out, there's many forms of the "this is awkward" joke of like someone who can recognize the bullshit of regular life. And then at the same time, life is coming towards them and they basically have to face the compromises of growing up. And is it a compromise to grow up, or is it just an admission of the truth? Is it a way to get to real feelings?
Looking at your career, when Mad Men came about, I don't think anyone in American culture looked back at that period in the 1960s as some sort of marker. And now it's territory that everybody knows about, and it's as unmistakable as Woodstock.
It's weird. I wrote the pilot 14 years ago. It took 7 years to get it on the air from when I wrote it. And trying to explain to people even what this period was, they knew what the 50s was. And they knew what Woodstock was, and they didn't understand there was anything in between, which is funny because to me it was – I kept trying to explain to them like what a unique moment it was. And all I found is the more that I investigated the period, 1959 and 1960 in particular, where I started, New York is the center of the universe. Mm-hmm. It is the height of America's influence, of America's goodwill. They were reaping the benefits of the Marshall Plan, 15 years later, center of publishing, finance, television, everything. And there is this feeling, I think, that this is the way the world is going to be. And then it just kind of doesn't. It seems to almost be like, I mean, it might have turned back that way by the time it got to 1985. But I was just surprised at its lack of interest.
It's almost as though the following of the show related to some sense that this was a perfect moment. From that sensibility in America came our sort of finest hour of the 20th century after World War II.
The irony of it is that it was meant as a kind of revision of history to basically say, like, whatever your interpretation of the 50s is, you think it's Leave It to Beaver. People were laughing at Leave It to Beaver then. America's a subversive country. The number one bestseller is Catch 22. This is, you know, we are a self-questioning, self-critical culture. And part of the difficulty of getting the show on the air was they said, well, no one's going to be interested in America and no one's going to be interested in this period outside of America. And it turned out that whatever influence our culture has had in the most positive sense, style and so forth, people remembered it. And it's not just the wish fulfillment of like, let's go back to a time of unprotected sex and steak and whiskey and, you know, smoking without consequences. They were aware of a great many of these things. I think the show has other appeals outside of history, but I think that there is something about the American character in there because it kind of started off I had this fantasy of doing this indictment, you know, of like right. What was decayed about America and what was wrong with it. And I don't know what happened, but I just said, you know what? There is social, cultural, financial mobility in the United States. And we are extremely forgiving of self-fiction. We celebrate people. Sometimes they're criminals even who make up who they are. And you know, I lived on the street where I saw this guy come from Cambodia, open a donut store. I lived there for 8 years. I watched him go from sleeping in the store to having his kids run the store to having his kids go to college to not being open 24 hours anymore, unfortunately, for the donut buyers. And I just was thinking like, you know, that has not changed. And everything you can say about race and all of the issues that face this country, it's still – we have a black president in this country. There is something very – I don't know if it's just like we're mobile. You know, we're adaptable and we're accepting of change in some weird way. Some of us are.
Is TV where it's at right now? I mean, Soderbergh would say that. Other directors, it's just a place that has a bigger canvas.
I think that as – the motion picture industry has become more global and more of a silent movie kind of situation without language. It's a different kind of entertainment that to do something specific and related to the culture, you have to be on television. Is that good or bad? I don't know. You know, Steven Soderbergh made Ocean's 11, 12 and 13. You know what I mean? He's
right.
Benefited greatly from that and made some great movies as well. I can tell you that as it becomes more and more lucrative, there will be more and more interference. And I feel very lucky that I got to sort of get in there between The Sopranos and everything else when everyone on a new channel on AMC where they were completely willing to take a chance. But as the stakes become higher, I think that it has a chance of sort of being watered down and ruined like everything else. But I've gotten to be there and, you know, I think everything's going to be watched on the same screen eventually anyway. And you can watch everything that was ever made. You know, my kids don't know that Netflix is on the internet. It comes on the TV. And, you know, we watch Columbo and I did not find it for them. One of them is born in 2001.
Yeah.
So the television is a mysterious thing. I think it's nice that they've gotten bigger and the sound's better in the house. But to me, it's still like, are you writing a novel? Is it a short story? Is it a play? It's a form. And there's something great about the continuing storyline. And there's something great about visiting with the characters every week. But then you see people are watching them all in one night. So it's such a new world that I can't really weigh in on it. All I can say is that there's just things that you can only do on TV. So if that's your business, that's the place to go.
Matthew Weiner, thanks so much.
Great to be here.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.